Welcome to the audio ministry of Grove Park Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina. We pray you will be blessed by today's message.
If you would, please turn to Exodus chapter 2 in your copy of God's Word. Would you pray with me? Oh God, may this time be filled with your grace. Grace to hear, grace to see, grace to experience anew who you are and what you call us to be and how you call us to be. Lord, speak to us now. Give me necessary words to meet this moment of grace. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 2:24 says, "And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew." God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Beloved, when you read the text, do you ever realize, do you ever allow yourself to think about the fact that there is more going on in the text than what you are reading? I fear sometimes that we make things just one-dimensional when we read the text, and we forget that there are maybe some other players that are in the room as we speak about what it is that we are looking at. Take, for instance, this text this morning. The covenant was traced here in the text through men. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But there are women that could be named here just as easily, because they too were partakers in the covenant. In fact, you cannot get to the second and third names in the covenant without women. There can be no Isaac if there isn't a Sarah. There can be no Jacob if there's not a Rebecca. And that very much, just as God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is also the God of Sarah, Hagar, Rebecca, Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, and Zilpah. And some of you might be saying, who are those last two? You see, that's what happens when we just look at the text singularly. We forget that there are other players, because there will be children fathered by Jacob, by Bilhah and Zilpah, which is not easy for me to say, that will be part of the lineage of the 12 tribes. And if we don't think about their story, if we just look at Abraham, or we just look at Jacob, and we don't incorporate these other stories, we miss something. We do a disservice to the biblical narrative when we focus strictly on the principles in the story and do not look at those who are, for the most part, on the periphery of the story as well. But really, do we ever want to go to those characters, those secondary characters? Do we really want to focus on their stories? Because so very often, there on the periphery are the folks whose stories are one of inadequacy, of pain, of loss, of feeling second best, or worse, treated as such. We don't want to think about their stories. We don't want to think about their realities, because really, we just want to keep it on that surface level when we come to the text. And that's thinking that requires too much complexity. But I think if we were more truthful about it, we don't want to think about it because it would require us to acknowledge those things in us. It would require us to feel our pain. It might make us understand where we feel second best, where we have been treated as second best, where we feel lost and hurting and inadequate. And in that moment, we would feel vulnerable. And let's face it, do any of us ever want to feel vulnerable? Do we want to put ourselves out there where we might can get hurt, or where something might can reach in and touch our pain? You know, it's one of those things like we say we might want somebody to rub our back, right? Because our back is hurting. But when someone does apply pressure to that point, what do? Don't touch there, right? Don't put any pressure there. I don't want to feel that pain. I don't want to feel that hurt. You know, it's like you go to the doctor and you've been complaining about something for weeks on end, and you go to the doctor and the doctor says, anything you want to talk about? No. Why? Because the doctor may touch that point. You and I don't ever want to be vulnerable. We don't want to be vulnerable with ourselves. We don't want to be vulnerable with others. And we certainly don't ever want to be vulnerable with God. But beloved, our vulnerability is where growth and healing can occur, will occur, does occur. And so we should feel compelled to join these folks who were thought of as secondary characters on the margins so that we can grow with them. So if we were to step into the margins of these women that I named earlier, who are just as much a part of the covenant as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what would we learn? Well, we would learn first, I think, that when we feel our most vulnerable, when we feel our most hurt, when we feel that we are most alone, God sees and hears us. In Genesis 16, we find the story of Hagar fleeing Sarah because Sarah is angry that what she wanted to happen has happened. Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham so that Hagar could conceive, and now Hagar has conceived. And what has that done? Is it made Sarah happy? No, it's made Sarah mad. And so Sarah's wrath is poured out on Hagar, and Hagar flees. She runs from the wrath. And she goes out into the wilderness where an angel of the Lord, the text tells us, comforts her. And Hagar, in that moment of pain and hurt, is the first person in all of Scripture to name God. She says, "You are a God of seeing." Beloved, isn't that interesting that the first name of God that we encounter in the text in which someone voices who God is that we are told that God is one who sees. And if God is one who sees, that means that we are never out of his sight. We are never forgotten. It would be helpful for Hagar to remember that, but she doesn't, because over in Genesis 21, after again Sarah gets upset, Hagar and Ishmael, her son, have to flee. And they go out into the wilderness, into the margins. And Hagar says that they're going to die. And she puts her son Ishmael off to the side because she says, "I cannot look upon the death of the child." And the scripture tells us in Genesis 21:15 that God heard the boy's cries. And if God heard the boy's cries, I have to also believe that God heard that mother's cry who says, "I can't watch my son die. It would be too painful if I watched my son die." I can wonder if she said, "I didn't even want the child to begin with, but now I love the child. And now I can't watch that child die." In Genesis 30:22, we're told that God hears Rachel. God hears Rachel's cry that she's not pregnant and can't get that way. God did not forget these women, beloved. God heard them. He heard their plight and he acted in their lives. And the question for us this morning is twofold. Number one, do we remember in our vulnerability that God hears and sees us, and that we can call upon God and we can say, "This is where my hurt is, this is where my pain is," and know that God will heal it, God will touch it, though it may absolutely pain us for God to touch it, yet in that touch there is healing. And more pointedly, beloved, do you and I listen to the cries of others in their vulnerability? Do we see their vulnerability? Or do we turn deaf and ears and blind eyes to it and go about our daily life? Because I cannot get away from Hagar's lament. Let me not look on the death of the child. I can hear in my mind Hagar yelling that out in pain. And I have to think about all the other women right now in this world who are making that lament. About mothers in inner cities who are making that lament because their children are dying through violence, unnecessary violence. I can't help but hear that in my mind about places all around the world where children are going hungry. The fact that today, something like 30,000 children will die in this world from hunger. And guess what? It happened yesterday too. And it'll happen tomorrow, and it happened all last week, and it'll happen all the rest of this year, because that statistic never seems to change. And we don't care. We don't care. Mark, I do care. Okay, beloved, I know. But does your care result in action? Or are you just a silent and present witness? Secondly, we would see in the plight of these women and in their stories that God's criteria for blessing does not match ours. Remember, this is the God of Leah. If you have not acquainted yourselves, by the way, with these women's stories, let me go ahead and urge you this week to read Genesis. And as you do, that you would pay particular attention to Leah, because I feel utter sorrow for Leah. Leah evidently wasn't the most beautiful woman in the world. The thought is maybe there was something wrong with her eyes. Maybe that she was just, I don't know what. But she was sufficient. She was considered insufficient to the point that her father tricked Jacob into marrying her. In other words, he said to Jacob, you're going to have Rachel, you know, the good-looking one you like so much. And then on the night of the wedding, Laban slips in Leah. And Jacob, let's just be honest about it, Jacob must have been too drunk to figure out. Because the next morning he woke up and he said, who is this? What happened? Here's Leah. And it's almost like he says, I'm stuck with Leah. And he says, all right, I'll work 7 more years so I can get Rachel. Rachel is the one that is wanted. She comes first. But poor Leah. Leah, who the world overlooks. Leah, who doesn't match the world's criteria for beauty. Leah, who might not match the world's criteria for intelligence. Leah, who might not match anything that anybody would want. Leah, who feels so much pain that she names her firstborn child Reuben because she says, now my husband will love me. Now that I've given him a boy, my husband will love me. Beloved, can you feel the pain in this woman's heart? Can you feel the utter sorrow that she feels unloved by her husband because she's not the one he wanted? And yet, what does God do? Of all of Jacob's progeny, the most will come through Leah. Leah will bear Jacob 6 sons and a daughter. God will bless Leah more than any of the rest of them with children, including, by the way, Judah. The line of Jesus comes through the unwanted and unloved and overlooked Leah. But it's not there. For most part, throughout the ancient world, women who were barren were thought to be not blessed. Women who were old were thought to be just old and useless. And yet in the story of Sarah, we find God bringing birth to a son in this woman's old age when she was very barren. Some folks would say she don't deserve it. Some folks would say she doesn't need it. Some folks might say all other sorts of things that God cannot bless her. But in that moment, God does. God blesses her. God blesses Leah. People that might not thought to be deserving get it. And why is that? Because, beloved, God doesn't bless based on hierarchies. And when we choose that this one can be blessed because they have this, and this one can be blessed because they don't, when we think that someone deserves something from God because they have this going for them, and someone doesn't deserve it because they have done this, or they act this way, or they think this way, then, beloved, guess what? We are creating hierarchies for God to bless. And the way I read the scripture is there are no hierarchies for God to bless. The Bible says that all are equal before God. All deserve. Do we treat others that way? Do we? Or do we say, you don't get it, you don't get to have it, because you don't look like I think you should look. You don't act like the way I think you should act. You don't think the way I think you should think. You don't deserve God's blessing. And to that end, we should remember something, beloved. We should remember that God uses and blesses people who are flawed and who have passed, and who have passed sometimes of not their choosing. We've already seen that Sarah had a temper. Rebecca played favorites with her boys. Leah and Rachel are so envious of each other, and they are in such bidding to get Jacob's affection, that Genesis chapter 30 tells us that they just gave their servants to Jacob for Jacob to father children through them. It's if it wasn't so sad, it would be amusing. Leah's having all these children. So what does Rachel do? She gives her servant to Jacob to have children for her. Well, Leah seeing that God is blessing Rachel's servant, Bilhah, she gives Jacob her servant, Zilpah. Because anything you can do, I can do better. See, so while we may pity Leah, we also can see that Leah's got some issues. And we also can see that, you know what? These women didn't choose this. It was forced upon them. So very often, beloved, people have to deal with things that are forced upon them. Hagar had no say as well, it would appear. And despite all of it, God blessed them. God used them. He used all of them despite their past, despite their flaws. And the question for us is, do we really believe that's true? Because you and I cannot be silent, beloved, because we live in a time where there are major issues going on in this world. And the only way that you and I can communicate God's love is if we are not silent about them, but we are very vocal. Because there are millions and millions and millions of people, women especially, who live on the margins of this world. For them, the stories that we have listened to in the lives of these women this morning from Genesis, it's not stories. It's their lives. In their lives, they have been told that because they don't meet this criteria or that criteria of beauty or intelligence or whatever, that they don't count. They've been told continually that they are second best. They have been used and abused because they were forced into doing things that they didn't want to do. They were given over and were subject to abuse, whether that be physical abuse or sexual abuse. And that's their story. That's their reality. And in their reality, they feel nothing but shame and hurt and pain, and no one seems to talk about it. And when they do talk about it, if they talk about the fact that they had to make choices that they never wanted to make, but they in the minute they had to make the choice, that somehow or another God doesn't love them anymore. And God's not listening to them. And God has turned a deaf ear to them. And the people of God have turned a deaf ear to them. And the people of God do not love them. And so here it is that we serve a God whose name is love, whose character is love, whose very essence is love. And yet half of the world thinks that God doesn't love them. But He does. And you and I are too. Because we can't be silent witnesses of God's love or of their pain and of their sorrow. We have to say, yes, the world has not treated you right. Yes, the world has hurt you. Yes, people have hurt you. Yes, people of leadership and authority have hurt you. Yes. 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 And I will stand here with you in the middle of this, and I will speak against it. And as I speak against it, I will also speak one other thing. Love. 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 I will tell you that despite everything that you may have done that you think God can't love you for, God still loves you. I will tell you that though you had to make some decisions in your life in order for you to survive, that despite that, God loves you and wants you to have abundant and eternal life. Beloved, our task in this world is to go find the Leahs and the Hagars and the Sarahs and the Rebeccas and the Rachels and the Bilhas and the Zilpahs. And through our acts of service and kindness to them, allow the God who heals, the God who sees, the God who hears, the God who is love, to wrap His arms around them and let them collapse into His eternal care. If we don't name them, if we don't remember that they're included in the story of God's redemption, we're signing our own death warrants. Not as people, but as an institution. People want to know that they're loved, beloved. They just don't want to hear about it. They want to see it. They want to know that God really is a God of second chances. They don't want to just hear about it. They want to see the second chance offered, and the second chance is offered through us. You can no longer be just present and silent. You have to raise your voice. You have to. Is that easy? No. Is thinking on the thinking about the margins easy? No. You know, part of me feels somewhat nervous just getting up here and taking that text from Exodus 2 and expanding it to all these women, because that's not something I ever have heard preached. But it says that God remembers the children of Israel, and that means that He just not remembers the men, He remembers the women too. And we can't just give lip service to it. We have to do it. Because God does. Let's pray. Lord, bind these words together that we may hear the overarching message of Your love, that we may look beyond, Lord, the clear things and look to the boundaries, look to the margins of life and find the people that are there just hanging on for dear life, trying not to be pushed over the side. And Lord, we would be the lifeline of love and grace to them. Lord, before this week, I'm not sure I could have named Bilhah and Zilpah. I just knew they existed. Lord, put people in our life today and this week where a name becomes someone that matches a reality. A reality that You call us to serve in. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. Please note our schedule has been revised as of April 2021. Please join us on Sunday mornings for worship at 10 o'clock in the sanctuary at 108 Trail 1 in Burlington or on Facebook Live. For more information and resources regarding our church, please visit groveparkchurch.net. And remember, grace abounds.